Good morning, church. I love that song. Isn't it great having Jackson, who works as an engineer up in our defense industry up there in Oklahoma? Isn't it wonderful to have him back leading songs for us? I know mom and dad are happy, but the whole church is happy. Amen? Beautiful, beautiful. I love that song. It is well with my soul. And there's a great story to it as well. The fact is, many of us, though, we're not well. Our bodies are hurting, and even our souls are crying out in anguish. Want to let y'all know that Scott is at a retreat up at PK this weekend with the Rooted Connection Group. If you want to go to Possum Kingdom for a nice weekend retreat, get involved with a connection group on Sundays, and you'll probably have that opportunity. But let me ask you. Again, my name is Steve, and I'm one of the ministers here. That's why I'm preaching. Have you ever been really, really sick, like hospital sick, or something really, really broken with your body? So sick that you couldn't even get out of bed? So badly injured that that was all that you were focusing on? Well, the reality is, probably all of us have been there. And many of us are in pain right now. Well, imagine in that lowest of low conditions, if somebody walked up to you and asked you, in your pain and misery, do you want to be well? On the surface, I think all of us would say, of course I want to be well. We want to be well. But at the same time, I'd probably be wondering, did you really just ask me that question? Don't you see me suffering in my condition? Really? Well, guess what? That's exactly what Jesus asked to a person who'd been crippled for 38 years. And so today in John 5, as we continue this study through the Gospel of John, looking at Jesus, I'm going to be mostly in the first half of this chapter, and we're going to see how Jesus asks even us if we want to be healed. Do we want to be made well? But the question for all of us is, will we accept his healing? Will we come to him? Or we simply wallow in our misery, wallow in our sickness? It's a haunting and daunting question from our Lord. Do you want to be made well? Jesus is asking that to all of us, even today. We must consider, we've got to contemplate, what do we need to be healed from? Are we only thinking about the physical? Throughout these lessons from John, we'll see Jesus and his compassion, his tenderness, his mercy. But even when he supplied people's physical needs, even when he healed them in such a wide variety of ways, he was always pointing them and us to the thing that mattered most, the spiritual aspect. Again, what about us? Do we really want to be made well? Sure, I want to be made well. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to have these pains. But yet sometimes in my pain, we can play the victim. We can even blame others for our situation. We can find reasons to complain and look for excuses. Mankind is very good at murmuring, just incessant complaining to one another, to anyone that would ask, even to God, where we're not talking, we're not praying to God, we're just complaining. We can find a list, and we can develop a list of all the different ways that people have done us wrong. Parents, the system, government, our upbringing, our friends, our spouse, the kids have caused too much trouble, my boss, my career, my teachers, my siblings, my church, they've all let me down. Because you know why? I deserve better. I deserve better. I should be made better. That's the mindset that we sometimes have. Again, do we want to be made well? Well, maybe not. When it comes to spiritual sickness, we all have had spiritual sicknesses. We all have sin. We all have a weakness to sin. And then perhaps we might be enjoying that particular sin as a pet sin, where we like it just a little bit too much, and we don't want to be healed from that problem. We don't want to be made well. So again, this question, do you want to be made well, requires honest self-examination. self-reflection, contemplation. Maybe we have to dig into ourselves, going deep into our heart and our hurts, and find out who we really are and what we really need from Jesus. Not just the superficial pains that go into our body, but what we're really sick from. Let's go straight into our text. Let's look at this piece of history. Pick it up in John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, is a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there had been an invalid for 38 years. He's been crippled for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned of his condition and that he'd had that for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" You know, Scott mentioned this before, and I've learned from Scott even in this lesson that God doesn't always ask us questions because he needs to learn something. That's not why he's asking us questions. He's asking us questions because we need to learn something. Do we want to be made well? Do you think Jesus is asking this man only about his physical condition? Actually, I don't believe that he is at all. I don't think so. He definitely is going to heal him, and you'll see that. But there's strong proof that he has spiritual problems too, and we'll see this in the passage. All right, let's look how this man, this crippled man, this invalid, this paralyzed man answers Jesus. Picking up in verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And we don't know how long that little discussion, basically he's complaining to Jesus. He's telling the reasons why he can't get in. He didn't answer the question, all right? But look what Jesus says. "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, a holy day for the Jews. And so Jesus asked him that question, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man's answer is relatively short of what we see in Scripture, but it's kind of messy. He doesn't even reply or respond to Jesus' question. It's really a yes or no question, y'all, for all of us, for this man too. Rather, he responds with some sort of blaming and complaint. "Again, I have no one to help me in the pool. When I'm making my way, someone gets in front of me, so it's somebody else's fault," in John 5, 7. And church, I'm going to be honest with you. I know people like this that have, I'm talking about the physical aspects. I know people like this, and I work with ministry with people like this every single week. They don't want to be healed by Jesus. They want to stay where they are. Now this man, I'm not saying that about this man. I believe that he truly wanted to be. I believe he was thrilled to be healed by Jesus. But not all the times. Not all the times do we want to be healed. Again, they don't want to be healed right now. They want to continue doing that for a little while longer. Again, we sometimes grow to love our misery. We become comfortable with it. Remember, we can't always help somebody. We can't help somebody. We certainly can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. And the reality is, some people don't even know their spiritual disease, how sick they really are. The Word of God says they're completely blinded. So again, it forces us to get into the Word and to ask that question to ourselves. Do we want to be made well? Church, every single one of us could use some sort of healing, physical and emotional, but definitely spiritual, all right, at some degree, because we fall. This man at the pool of Bethesda, I believe he wants to be healed. And again, while his answer to Jesus was a little messy, it definitely wasn't direct, I believe he wanted healing. But he didn't know how it could happen. He's been there 38 years. What else is he going to do? He suffered for the majority of his life. Or maybe all of his life. We don't know the whole story. He was at his rock bottom. And many of us have been in similar dilemmas. Many of us are in that situation right now. Maybe not physically, so you can't immediately tell what each other's suffering through. But maybe spiritually, Maybe spiritually we are at our rock bottom right now. This man that Jesus was ministering to says, I want to be healed, but I can't. I've tried. I've tried everything I can. I can't get into the water. I want to be healed. I've tried, but I can't. There's no one to help me. I've given up. I have no help. Notice all the eyes. All right? If you really want to get down in the dumps, try to heal yourself. Try to fix it on your own. Let me know how that goes. But again, church, I see this condition all the time. All the time. Folks get so lost in their pain, in their misery, in their sickness, that they finally see no hope. They're going to stay in that. Their mindset is, I can't see any way out. Therefore, I'm going to live forever in this, or at least as long as I'm here, in this miserable existence. But church, our God is alive. Amen? His word is still relevant. Jesus is still offering a solution to our problems, to our pains, to our mess, to our sin. He wants to make us well. Do you want to be made well? That's the question. Do you really want to be made well? Again, Jesus response to this poor man is clear and concise. Stand up, take your bed, and walk. And at once, this man was healed. That's our miracle worker. That's our Lord. That's our Jesus. That's our God. And you notice that man didn't need the water in the pool at Bethesda? He didn't need that at all. He was at the wrong place, but the right place that day. But the wrong place. You don't go for that to be healed. But whenever we say yes to Jesus, healing comes our way. Again, our biggest ailment may not be with our body. It may be a spiritual disease, as I continue to say. And Jesus' mission was not simply to come down here and heal our broken bodies. That's not what he came here for. He came here for on a mission to seek and save the lost, to save our souls. This poor man also had a sin issue. We know he did. We're going to see it, like all of us. It's clear from what Jesus tells him in just a few more verses in verse 14. But again, Jesus gave him wholeness. You think his muscles were atrophied after 38 years of lying still, not being able to move? You think his bones had become brittle and not being able to exercise them? God made him whole. Not just being able to say stand up, but to be able to stand up and walk with coordination in a fully functional body. No rehabilitation, no physical therapy. The man was able to be whole. For this man, it's like a brand new body. Jesus doesn't just take away the paralysis by fixing the nerves. He heals the whole body. He makes all things new. God gave him a new life. But again, please, please don't try to work through this by yourself. This man tried for 38 years. Don't try to overcome the obstacles. Don't try to work away your impairments. Don't try to just by yourself to remove the hurt. You can't do it. All right? Remember who it is that asks the question, do you want to be made well? It's God, right? Recall the words of John 15:1, all right, which describes the blessings of God throughout Christ and how we struggle hopelessly without him. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I am in them, what? What's it say? You will produce much fruit. God will bless your life. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus makes it very clear. So again, no matter how many times this man tried to be healed, without the help of Jesus, nothing was able to happen. He could not be healed. But with the voice of the Lord, there's new life. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. All right, it did 2,000 years ago when he healed this man, and it still does today. Jesus is still changing lives today. Again, think spiritually. How do you think you're going to fix yourself without Jesus? Church, let our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our bodies move towards the Lord. Let's keep reading. Pick it up in verse 10 and going down through verse 16 of John chapter 5. And so the Jews said to this man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Really? Let me just stop right there. Really? Do you think the law really said that? Jesus was the one who commanded him to pick up his mat. Do you think the law really said that you can't pick up your mat on the Sabbath day? Or were the Jews simply making that up and adding to what God had given them in the first place? Continuing, but he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" And then in verse 13, "The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there." So many people saw this, as you see. All right. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." We don't know how he was injured or how he was crippled or anything like that. We also know that most injuries, and Jesus even ministered on that they're not caused from a particular sin or from what my parents did. All right, sometimes it's just life, but sometimes accidents or severe accidents can happen during sin, and I believe that may have been what Jesus was talking about. But let's continue with this a little bit further. He says, "Something, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Next slide on verse 15. "The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on a Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him." This is early on. This is his first healing that he had in Jerusalem. But God in the flesh is now being persecuted for healing somebody, giving them a new life. He does it on that Saturday, on that Sabbath day, and the Jewish elite were now going to go after him and try to kill him because God was doing good at his choosing. Can you believe that? That we would have, that anyone would have the audacity to be able to tell Jesus, "You're not allowed to heal." Can you imagine that? The Sabbath was simply a weekly day of rest. It's an act of grace. Never forget that. All right, go study about world traditions. All right, first of all, we're on a weekly schedule around the world because of one reason: creation. There's no reason why we have a 7-day plan for every calendar for every people in the world. It's because of creation. That's when it goes back. And the Jews were the only ones in the world that had a day off. Nobody had days off. Some of y'all still don't. All right, but nobody had days off. God gave the Jews an extra day off. Because again, remember, back in the day, it's a struggle. You're trying to survive. But having that day off forces you to not rely on self and to focus and rely and worship on God. Where is your trust? It's about trusting God. It's not about just keeping that command. It's about trusting God that he will provide. I don't have to go to work to put food on the table. God will take care of me. Do you practice that today in some way? I hope you do. And the reality is that God didn't give them these specific, all these rules about what the Sabbath is. Yes, there are some, but there's only a few rules. It simply was to reinforce that the Sabbath day was, not business as usual. You don't go to work, you don't make others work, and you and your families need to depend on God. He is our provider. It's his name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. That we learned from Abraham back in Genesis. But the Jews over the centuries, they tried to clarify and quantify what constituted work and what work was forbidden on the Sabbath. And then in the Shabbat regulations, set of regulations, a commentary on how to keep the Sabbath. But by the time that the Pharisees and Sadducees were around in the first century, there were over 2,000 regulations added to the Sabbath day. 2,000 man-made rules added on top of God's law. Get this, why are the religious rulers so upset? Because God healed somebody, miraculously healed somebody on the Sabbath. And this is a challenge of status quo. This is a challenge of the social and religious hierarchy for the Jewish elite. And they thought they were on top. It was a topsy-turvy religion that they had. So because of these things of making a man whole, making a man who had not walked in 38 years, we're going to go after that man. Now the Pharisees were plotting to kill the Messiah. You see, God gave the Jews guidance and structure in his law, and the Jews perverted it. So let's make sure we're not doing the same thing today, where we take the word of God and we add a bunch of rules and requirements to it and then try to enforce it on somebody else. Don't turn God's gifts and his grace into a bitter legalism or simply ignorant folly where you don't even know the rules. Both extremes are in error, where you become the legalist or where you simply don't listen to any of it, where you lack the wisdom. And so if we try to enjoy God's gifts without listening to his instructions, then we're going to, and if we start trying to make things up and add them to his law, I promise you, and we'll see it all the time, things will get broken and we will get hurt. Look at every relationship that gets damaged, okay? This kind of stuff happens all the time. Why? It's because the way we are. It's because my way, right? My self-centered way leads to brokenness. My path, if I'm not involving God, my path is a path to destruction. But God's way, his way, leads to life. And again, church, I'm not making any of that up. If you want to be healed, if you want to be fixed, if you want to move from death to life, that's what we're talking about here. Spiritually speaking, we're talking about moving from death to life. Then we need to turn to Jesus. Let's start wrapping this lesson up, looking down at verses 21, just through 24. Here Jesus in chapter 5 again makes it very clear about his identity. I'm kind of dumbfounded sometimes where people don't believe, people say that the word doesn't talk about the deity of Jesus. It's such an erroneous concept. But I mean, look at what Jesus says here in verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Yes, church, Jesus is the giver of life. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Yes, Jesus is our judge. He's our righteous and perfect judge. He's also our defense attorney, too. So when you're a Christian, you get the whole court. It's a beautiful thing. But look what it says in 23, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He who does not comes in, he does not come into judgment, but he is passed again from death to life. That's the greatest healing of them all, isn't it? How'd you like being healed from death to life? Jesus does that too. And these are words that you can absolutely bank on. You can trust Jesus. So now with this understanding of who Jesus is, how will you answer the question that he poses, not just to the man back in John 5? How will you handle this question for you? Do you want to be made well? God, yes, indeed, is asking you this question. It's the Lord of the heaven and earth, our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. He wants to know. He loves you so much. He wants to know, though, Do you want to be made well? So church, and this is for all of us, hear the invitation. It's the invitation of the one who created everything, who's in charge of everything, and the one who loves you the most. Come to Jesus with whatever burdens your heart and soul. This, again, this is for all of us today. It's something you can put your trust in. It doesn't matter if you were baptized 50 years ago, but now you have some hurts and hang-ups that you need to bring to Jesus. And our elders will be in the back in just a few minutes, and they're ready to pray for you. And likewise, this is for you if you have not yet put your faith and trust in Jesus, our Lord. If you're not yet a baptized believer, then what are you waiting for? You're missing out on God's blessings. You're missing out on healing. You're missing out on eternal life. Let's rectify that today. If you're ready to turn to God, if you know that you need to change, that is to repent and stop doing what you're doing and start doing what God wants you to do. If you know that you need to and want to profess or to confess the name of Jesus, then let's get back here in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sin. But again, for all of us here, all we need to be able to do is to say yes to Jesus' question, his invitation. Do we want to be made well? God bless y'all. Let's stand and sing.